of Matthew, chapter number 13. I am scared to death tonight. I have 3 pages of notes, and I haven't had 3 pages of notes in 300 years, I don't think. Did y'all bring a lunch? All righty. Well, tonight you're going to fast and pray till we get done. I'm serious, I'm not planning on being that long. Well, let me see here, maybe. It's amazing that when it comes to preaching, everybody's a little bit different. Brother Wells, I don't think he knew how to preach under 45 minutes. And he took a long time to develop things and so forth. And it was just the way it was. And it was interesting to listen to. I forget his name, but there's another famous preacher that he said, if you can't say it in 20 minutes, you ought to shut up. Christy, that was just a little bit too loud and obvious. She always says amen in the weirdest ways. I have no idea what I was saying or what the point was. There was a point to that, maybe. I'm not sure. I know what started, though, because I was looking at these notes and thinking, my goodness, am I going to get through all that? Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight before we look anywhere else. Father, thank you so much that we have the privilege to gather in this place. I pray you might work and bless in our hearts tonight, and I pray that you might teach us. And Lord, more than anything, that we might learn. Lord God, bless, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to look verse number 9. We're going to look at other scripture, but I want you to look at verse number 9 especially as we begin tonight. It says, who hath ears to hear what? Let him hear. He who hath ears, let him hear. That's an interesting statement. You find it 8 times in the Word of God in the New Testament. Interesting. I believe, to the consternation of Old Testament preachers and New Testament preachers, that those within earshot often do not hear. Now, understand, and I appreciate Jenny, her testimony. Now, I understand sometimes that we are so deep inside that once in a while that our thoughts are seeking God, and God's going to speak to us another way. But so often, our minds just kind of wander, and we don't really pay attention to things. We don't allow God to really speak to us. We read our Bibles that way, too. And maybe we got a little chart we're following. I got to read this today. It's my assigned duty. And if I don't fulfill my duty, why, you know, the devil's going to come down and chop my head off. You know, we have these little things. And God wants us to really hear some things and to allow Him to work in us. Matter of fact, I believe it's the undoing of many as far as eternity is concerned. The Bible says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I send you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You believe the Bible? Amen. And he says that he that hears it and believes it, what happens? He's saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. But it goes on and says, how then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so there must be the willingness to listen, to hear what is being said by God, what's being said by others. So I mentioned 8 times in the New Testament, we find this little phrase, ears to hear, let him hear. 3 of those follow the same parable of the sower here in Matthew, also in the book of Mark, and in the book of Luke. Another one is in this same chapter, following the parable of the tares in verse number 43. We find another one follows the parable of the candle under the bushel. And in that, extreme warning is given that we listen intently, that we not hide the truth under a basket. So when we don't hear, truth gets hid from us. And by the way, if we are not where we can hear, truth gets hid from us. Isn't that true? And so often we find ourselves in that kind of a situation. He says, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and to you that hear shall more be given. Isn't that interesting? And so God wants us to what? Listen to Him. There's another that follows the parable of the savorless salt. And it's another warning, really, that Christ ought to be put first in everything in our lives. You find that in Luke chapter 14. We'll not go there tonight. But what a tremendous section. We just dealt with that recently in a message. Only two of them follow what I would describe as a spiritual truth that does not involve a parable. One is concerning John the Baptist and his coming in the spirit of Elijah. And the other is concerning what is within us will defile us. All of these are very interesting. But six of these are connected with parables. What's a parable? Well, it's a story. It's an illustration. Somebody said it's a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I don't know if that's a good definition, but I'll accept it. We have these things that help us to understand things. But sometimes we don't really listen to them. And we don't follow it. And we don't allow God to use it in our hearts and our lives. That's interesting that the Lord Jesus used parables. Society's prepared to listen to stories, but oftentimes they don't really pay attention to the underlying meaning or what is trying to be brought about. And sadly to say, few get really excited about the truth of stories simply because they don't get it. Have you ever told a joke and people just, huh? I tell them all the time. Listen, they're hilarious. And people just, huh? I told one the other day to Christina. She just looked at me. My wife got mad. Well, not mad, but she didn't like it. I thought it was wonderful. I forgot it, so you're not going to be pained with it. But listen, stories have tremendous value in our lives. But a lot of folks just don't get it. And I think Matthew tells us one of the reasons we don't get spiritual things out of stories is because we are dull of hearing. He says in Matthew 13:15, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Ezekiel, I think, outlined it very clearly when he said, the word of the Lord also came to me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. What's the problem with our hearing? It's rebellion. It's rebellion. In other words, we don't want to hear that which is authoritative over us. Rebellion is rejection of authority. We find the days of the judges being marked by that. In Judges 21:25, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When Solomon wrote the Proverbs, he said this, however, the fool, or the way of a fool, is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. When Saul was king over Israel, we find that God had an authority over him. Now, God's always the authority, amen? But God had placed an authority over him. It was the prophet Samuel. And Samuel was there to do a number of things. Matter of fact, we find that it was Samuel who installed Saul as king under God's direction. He was sent by God to enlist the king to do certain duties. Matter of fact, he was told to go slay all the Amalekites, and he didn't do it. And in that particular case, we find that when Samuel comes to him, he says this to him, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Isn't that interesting? God puts stubbornness and rebellion together. Maybe it's because they're basically the same thing. I have found that ears that don't hear are proud ears. They're ears that think, I know it all. I don't need somebody telling me what to do. Until a man wants to shut up, You say, you're not supposed to say that in public. Until a man wants to shut up and listen, there's no hope. Are you listening? Until a man wants to shut up and listen, there's no hope. With the reason I believe that many won't listen, they don't let God then work in their hearts and their lives. As we look through this parable, and allow me to go back in verse number 3, and it says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, and some 100, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now let me ask you a very simple question. Whether you're 5 or 105, do you understand different kinds of crops? Have you not looked out and seen places where there were weeds? Have you not looked out and seen places where there are stones? Have you not seen areas that are nothing more than pathways, or areas where the ground has been trampled down? And especially living in the state of Iowa, have you not also seen ground that produces a wonderful crop? That's something that's common to all of us. And so the Lord told this story, and in this story, He wanted him to get a spiritual intent. But those who did not want to have a spirituality about them, did not want to follow the Lord, they never understood it. But those who do, God helps to understand. What's interesting is, out of the nearly 50 parables that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us, there's only 2 that have an explanation. And He gives us this explanation, I believe, to help us spiritually to understand all the other parables. I've heard it said that a parable has one important lesson to it. There is truth to that. But isn't it interesting, as we read the Lord Jesus Christ telling us about this parable, that it really, the details are important. Go down now with me to verse number 18. He says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Wayside. Talking about in the way. He's talking about a roadway. This is talking about throwing seed on your driveway. This is talking about throwing seed in the street. It's not going to grow. And we find that what happens, the fowl come and they take it away. And certainly that is true. In verse number 20. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. That which goes into rocky ground many, many times is not going to produce. Now there are certain things that will grow there. I remember one year we went across the mountains over to the Platte River from camp, and we were driving up and down the road along that river there and in the mountains, and I looked over and there's a rock. That rock's about as big as this whole platform. And right out of the middle of the top of that rock is a tree growing. How many have eaten trees? You're not going to get much crop out of a tree, are you? Or you might cut it down, use it for your house in Christmas time. You might cut it up and use it for a fire, but it's not something that's going to produce something that's nourishing. And he's talking about that kind of a thing here. So here's a seed that went, what, in a stony place. In verse number 22 it says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. what happens? There's other things that grow up that choke it out. There's other things that become more important in their lives. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. This parable goes to the heart of man's problem. The problem isn't the seed. The seed is the word of God. That's not the problem, because the seed is pure. The seed is great. The problem is not the sower. The sower simply is one who takes and flings it about. Now, if he doesn't sow, that seed's not going to be planted. And there's a message there. But that's not the problem. Where's the problem at? The problem is in the soil itself. Three of the four soils that are mentioned here, they fail to produce because they've not been properly prepared to receive the seed. One was too hard from traffic. It always amazed me when I went to my uncle's farm. He had dairy cattle, and every morning, every night, he'd call those cattle. All the time that I knew him and he lived on that farm, just on the north side of his house was about 15, 20 acres. It was pasture. And I do not ever remember him planting any crop there. It would just be grass. And it was where he allowed the cattle to graze through the summertime before he'd turn them out into the other fields to glean what was left in them. And every evening he called those cattle, and I remember being there on a few occasions. They would come from wherever it was at, and they always went to a certain path. And that path had gotten tromped in there. Nothing grew there. Nothing at all. And you could find those in any farmyard, any place that did that kind of thing. You can go out hunting sometimes in the wild. And some of you men who hunt, you know this. There are what we call game trails. And as you hike through the woods, you'll come across those trails. Matter of fact, if you're driving down the road and don't get going too fast, from time to time you'll see a game trail that's going right up through the grass, through a fence, and going on into the field. Or sometimes birds will come down and they'll come across. They might come out to the road and get some stones. Or animals that are smaller will follow that path. Those paths, they get hard from traffic. And that's what he speaks of here. That soil that's under those hard places, it needs some attention before it ever is going to receive seed. He talks about that which is rocky. Now, much of the earth outside of the state of Iowa, you'll find it's rocky. I think the state of Missouri is a very beautiful place. But it's somewhat difficult to grow crops in some of those areas because there's a lot of rocks in the soil. I have seen in certain places across our country that they've gone in and they've removed all those stones. And they make a fence out of those stones around that field. And so they've got to prepare that soil in order they might use it. We find another is filled with thorns and those kinds of things that are going to choke it out. And the problem is with the soil, not the seed. And what must take place is that soil must be prepared. It's got to be prepared. And preparing soil is hard work. It's not easy work. We spoke this morning about children and raising children and preparing the soil of their heart to receive the Word of God. That's not easy work. Or we find that there are all kinds of things that are out there trying to destroy that. Sometimes, if you're saved and your parents are not, you got grandparents that are actually hurting your cause. Many times you have family members that don't understand and they actually seeking to hurt your cause. Not seeking to, but they do. And we got all sorts of things that are there seeking to take that out of their hearts and so forth. Preparing that soil is hard work. And it requires a great deal of plowing. And what we used to do years ago before they just drill it in the ground, take the plow across the field. We'd come back afterwards And my dad would bring the disc. And so you'd have them big clumps, and that disc would cut those clumps up. And they'd get cut up some, and then he'd come back with the harrow. And that would break it up even more. And by the time he was done, the field would be nice and level. And all the dirt was nice and smooth. And then he would bring the pick or the sowing, whatever, however he sowed it in those days. And would sow the seed that the crop might come forth. That soil had to be prepared. Even in the state of Iowa, it has to be prepared. And so we find that's true of all those who are round about us. Much of what we do, brethren, around here is seeking to prepare the soil to receive the seed. We're either sowing or we're preparing the heart. Now, it's interesting how we must prepare that soil, how we must prepare that heart. And by the way, our lifestyle, our words, our actions, all of those things go to help break up that soil. Prepared soil is broken soil. Men who are broken are prepared to hear the gospel. Tough guys don't hear the gospel. Proud guys don't hear the gospel. Those who are self-made don't hear the gospel. They must be broken. That's interesting. And so God's got to break us somehow. What's He got to do? He's got to show us that we're not as tough as we think. We're not as invincible as we think. We need to be shown that without Jesus Christ, we are destined to an eternity in hell. We have not the ability to overcome it. And that we're hopeless and helpless without Him. I want you to think about this. In the book of Luke chapter 15, we read the story of the prodigal son. He'd been raised in a good home. And you can look at this story and you can see him as a man who was lost or a man who was saved. But in either way, there was something that needed to take place that he might receive that seed. He needed to be broken. In chapter 15, verse 17, it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" What happened to this man? He was proud and arrogant. He said, "Give me my inheritance. I'll go do it myself. I can handle this." I've seen many a young man go out seeking to handle it on their own, only to find out it's not as easy as they think. And God's in a process of having to break us. And he needed to be broken. Zacchaeus had to be broken. Zacchaeus was a man who thought he was something when indeed he was nothing. And the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." He sought to see who Jesus was and could not for the press. He couldn't even get to him because he was so little. And he discovered not only was he little in stature, he was little in heart. And he climbed up a sycamore tree that he might see Jesus. He had to be broken. The Apostle Paul had to be broken. The Bible tells us that when he was coming near Damascus on that road, suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Remember what Saul was there doing? Saul was going to Damascus to persecute Christians. He thought he had it all together. He thought he knew what he was doing, and he was doing it for God. But God had to break him. And these men, I believe, were genuine because there was a true repentance in their heart. There was something that changed down inside of them. And one of the things that certainly we need to understand is if a person's going to get saved, they need to repent. Now, when we think about repentance, sometimes they go, "Oh, they got to be crying and wailing and really upset." You know, repentance is really simply a change of mind about themselves and God. And some will cry and some will howl and some you will not see any expressions. But it must be there. And too often, we just tell people, we just simply got to believe. But we have to believe something about ourselves. We've got to believe something about God that is contrary to what we believed before. And to realize that we need Him. And we need to turn to Him and accept Him as our Savior. That was the work of the early preachers, to preach repentance to those. Jonah, the Bible tells us, was a man who preached to them, and they repented at the preaching of Jonah. John the Baptist, it said of him that he was one who preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Jesus, we find, says that he called sinners to repentance. The Apostle Paul, we know also, he says, do works meet for repentance. Interesting, in the book of Luke, the Great Commission says, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And so what's the great need? We need to what? We need to be praying that God would break up the soil. Because there's all sorts of soils that are there. And as you and I go forth to sow that seed, much of that soil needs to be prepared. Some of that preparation can be done as you and I seek Him in prayer. As we ask Him to do some work in lives. Do you know there's things that you and I cannot do? Matter of fact, there's a lot of things you and I can't do. But we can ask God to work in their lives. And that foul ground of their hearts might be broken up, that they might hear the Word and be saved. We find far too often they're like Esau. He wanted his father to change the blessing to him, but he wasn't willing to change. We find that he even cried and sought carefully, but the Bible says there was found no place of repentance for him. The ground hadn't been broken up. And so we come to these parables, and the Lord gives them to us for a reason. To help us understand spiritual truth. To help those who want to hear God's Word to understand what we're dealing with. And the need that must be taken care of in lives in order for folks to get truly born again. We got a job to do. Amen? And what a great Savior we have that can prepare those hearts as we allow Him to work through us and in us, as we seek Him in prayer, as we seek to do His work, as we live for Him and allow all these things to bring it about. Father, tonight I pray You'll work in our hearts. Help us to understand and help us be diligent to deliver the message. But, oh God, that we might also be diligent in seeking for the soil to be prepared. And Lord, help us when we get discouraged, understand that sometimes they just can't see it because that preparation hasn't taken place. And Lord, that we might be diligent to just keep on until that happens. Lord, bless and work in our hearts and lives. May You be glorified by that which we do and say throughout this week. Use us for Your glory, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand tonight.